from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
It's Fresh Fridays, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Appreciate all you guys being with us. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Friday. Feels good to get to the end of the week. Gotta love it.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas coming up this weekend. I hope you guys are spoiled to death. Happy Mother's Day to you, Ursula.
Thank you so much. My boys are all going to be together, and it's going to be a wonderful reunion this weekend.
Eric is coming home tonight.
Yes, I'm back from Boulder.
That's exciting. Ursula, it is now time for the top three things that everyone needs to know.
Number one.
And for our usual guest, we want to welcome Michael Medved from KTTH. He is one of our favorite people to have on the show, and he joins us every Friday, and he's going to help us get to our three things that you need to know at 10 o'clock. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Ursula, and good morning, G, and happy Mother's Day to you and everybody else out there.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's start right off. Last couple of weeks we've talked to you, we've been following what's been going on with Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming. I'll be honest,
yep.
I did not think it was going to get to this, but she is likely going to get ousted from her House leadership role next week. And as you know, Michael, New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is the favorite to replace her, and she's now speaking out, and I wanted you to hear this.
My vision is to run with support from the president and his coalition of voters, which was the highest number of votes ever won by a Republican nominee in 2020.
So it is real clear that the Republican Party, as it stands right now, most of it is wanting to continue to follow former President Trump.
Well, I would say that that's true of the House of Representatives, the Republicans in the House, who are trying with all their focus and all their energy to take over the majority in the House, and they're only five seats away from doing that. The point about this entire fight is that it's so wildly unnecessary. Elise Stefanik actually has a more moderate voting record than Liz Cheney, by far. Liz Cheney is a stronger conservative, in other words. So what all of this is about is about Trump. And frankly, if the Republicans go into 2022, and where the entire issue is Trump, they're going to lose. And frankly, they will deserve to lose. There are times in life where you move on. And the election happened. Biden won. He's now, for better or worse, depending on how you feel, he's president of the United States. And unless the party adjusts to that, there's no future.
Michael, just real quick, just to follow up, though, on what you said. You said Stefanik is more of a moderate compared to Liz Cheney, but maybe the definition of what is a conservative has changed. And
well,
Liz Cheney and other Republicans like you are kind of being left behind, and this other boat is taking, you know, is moving forward, and it's leaving behind the traditional conservatives.
Well, the one thing you could say is that all of the people, like the Club for Growth, for instance, which is very conservative, has come out against Stefanik because of her voting record. I mean, she did not support the Trump tax cuts, for instance. And now she's trying to be Trumpier than anybody. And I don't think that's a path to long-term victory. What's a path to long-term victory is offering a constructive alternative to what I believe to be the irresponsible spending and the intrusion into every aspect of daily and personal life that characterizes the Biden agenda right now.
Michael, let's go a little bit deeper here. During his last 4 years, Donald Trump lost. For the GOP, the GOP lost the House, they lost the Senate, and he was defeated in the reelection. I help me understand how the former president can stake his claim and continue to seem as if he is still the leader of the Republican Party. How is that happening right now?
It's a triumph of emotion over reason, because what you're saying is entirely reasonable. And there is no example in American history. And people use the example of Grover Cleveland, who lost a close election in 1888 and then came back in 1892 and won. But Grover Cleveland won the popular vote. And by the way, by every measure, President Trump is less popular right now than he was on Election Day. And there's a reason for that, because he keeps harping on this insane Arizona recount, which is nuts, where they're looking for traces of bamboo on the ballots to see if the ballots really came from China. It's over. And by the way, one of the things that nobody is saying that you have to say is they're doing this big new recount of Maricopa County in Arizona. Even if President Trump ended up carrying Arizona, he would still have lost by 20 electoral votes. It's just not on for him right now.
Michael, so, just real quick, and gee, I know you've got another question, but just to, on the point of Maricopa County and what's going on in Arizona, gee and I spoke to the Republican Secretary of State for Washington, Kim Wyman, who got very emotional yesterday about this very thing, about what is happening in Arizona and why we should all care and why we should all be worried about what's happening, because this is a private party now doing this recount. And you talked about the bamboo. I don't know that everybody knows that, but what they're doing is ridiculous.
No, what they're doing is completely ridiculous, and it's following no legal standards, no ethical standards at all. And it's just nutty. See, one of the difficulties, there's a lot of talk today. One of the things that's a crisis in America right now is there's so many people who are vaccine resistant. And there's a piece in The Atlantic that I think analyzes it exactly right. The reason that people who should be getting vaccinated and could be getting vaccinated, the reason they're not, is because they don't trust any institutions. And the fact of the matter is, if we don't trust our doctors and our nurses and our medical professionals, for goodness sake, we've got to come together. David Brooks writes today, this America would never have won World War II, because what was needed in World War II was people to put aside political differences and to come together and trust one another.
Yes.
And work on a big challenge. We've got a big challenge right now. There is every reason to believe that there will be more dead people from COVID-19 around the world in the first 4 months of this year than all of last year. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And we've got to be prepared to confront that.
Okay, we're going to go ahead.
No. Let's go to number two.
Number two.
Speaking of confronting that in which you just said, right now in the news has been the ban of Facebook with Donald Trump. Donald Trump cannot be on Facebook right now. And of course, they have 6 months to decide if whether or not that is to be permanent. Michael, your thoughts on Donald Trump and Facebook?
Look, I think Facebook is making a stupid mistake. I do. But they have the right to do that. And I think it's a much bigger mistake for people to say, I trust the government to regulate content, to do things like the O-line fairness doctrine. I trust them more than I trust private companies. By the way, President Trump is doing fine. He even said yesterday that this may be a blessing in disguise for him, because he's sending out these emails to tens of millions of people, and they're not edited, and there's nobody looking over his shoulder. That's fine. He's not being censored. What Facebook has been saying, and then Twitter said also yesterday, is, look, we're a private company. This does not comport with our own values, so we're not going to feature it. But in terms of cutting off President Trump's right to communicate with his millions and millions of followers, that's still very much the case. He can do whatever he wants and get his voice out there. He's not being stifled.
To that end, Michael, do you know how much President Trump has raised since he's been out of office and since he's been continuing to hint that he may be running in 2024? He's raised a ton of money.
Yes, and what's really sad is a lot of that money is being raised on the premise that he's going to overturn the election results before 2024, which, by the way, the chances of that are like the chances of President Trump flapping his arms and flying to the moon. It's not going to happen.
Well, I want to go back a little bit, and I want to talk about, because yesterday I talked about on the show, and Ursula and I are on the same page when it comes to how important a two-party system is for the success of this country.
Good.
Michael, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous seeing where the Republican Party, Donald Trump has a stronghold on the Republican Party, and I just don't feel this strong two-party system going forward, and I actually feel like there is a real threat to what we're doing right now. Your thoughts on that?
I think that there are all kinds of signs that there are different kinds of Republicans. Frankly, Kevin McCarthy even said that Liz Cheney wouldn't be getting booted just because she voted for President Trump's impeachment. She was getting booted because she was contradicting him as minority leader. And I think Republicans need to get on the same page about a positive agenda for change, about doing something to correct our economy. We got a really disappointing job report this morning, which is of great concern, where we created far fewer new jobs than anyone, including the Biden administration, had predicted. If Republicans can offer a constructive alternative to the Biden prescription for the economy, which is basically spend, 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 borrow, 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 tax, 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 I think that's the role for the Republican Party. If the Republican Party decides we're going to keep relitigating the lost election of 2020, well, then you're right. You're absolutely right, G. There's no future.
Lindsey Graham was quoted this morning as saying that Republicans can't win without Donald Trump.
It's absurd. I think that what is true is that if Donald Trump runs on a third party, or if he basically goes in to blow up the Republican Party, he could do that. He has the power to do that. But the idea that, I mean, look at the state of Washington here. We actually may have a pretty interesting, viable senatorial candidate to run against Patty Murray. Now, she wants nothing more, I assume. I haven't spoken to her about it. But for Tiffany Smiley, she wants nothing more than, please, President Trump, don't campaign for me in Washington State. It's not going to help here.
We're going to go to our number three item, and this is one of G's favorite stories of the morning.
Number three.
Okay. Michael, have you ever heard of foxitis or fox mania? Did you hear about the one of the insurrectionists on January 6th, one of the reasons, his lawyers, one of the reasons why he did make an appearance on January 6th, he is now blaming all of the content that he was viewing on Fox News, and they called it foxitis and fox mania. Do you believe that that is a real defense as to why someone would show up there on January 6th?
Absolutely not, and it's not fair. I mean, look, I disagree with a lot of the content on Fox from time to time, but much of it is just solid, good, reliable news reporting. Fox is full of outstanding reporters, people like Brett Baer, people like Chris Wallace, people who actually will say things that that may lead a lot of Americans to think about the different sides of issues. So what this is this is like, do you remember, you're probably too young, but there was a crazy guy who shot, George Moscone was mayor of San Francisco. He killed Harvey Milk, who was a supervisor in San Francisco. And then he pleaded what was called the Twinkie defense. He loved eating Twinkies, and he had just before he committed the murders, he'd eaten like 18 Twinkies. And they said the Twinkies made him do it. I think foxitis is the same kind of deal.
Michael, I think you're right. Defense attorneys are paid to come up with creative ways and whatever disorders that they want to put in. But I think there's something to this idea, though, of where people swear an allegiance to a particular, whether it's a particular talk show host or a particular network, and you pointed out Brett Baer and you pointed out Chris Wallace, but Fox News also has Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, who are wildly influential, and sometimes they say things, or often they'll say things that are, you know, potentially dangerous. And this can be said for CNN as well, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'm not, but in particular, when we're looking at things like trying to get more Republicans vaccinated, and I think Tucker Carlson has been very vocal about his concerns, or his, he thinks that so much of what is happening right now should be rejected in terms of getting the vaccine. Your thoughts on that?
He's just wildly overstated the number of people who've had an adverse reaction to the vaccines. It's been fact-checked and fact-checked and fact-checked. Look, I just hope, Ursula, that you're not talking about any kind of governmental intervention to try to direct content. I think a lot of what I see on MSNBC is completely one-sided and wrong.
Of course.
That's true for a lot on CNN. And it's true for some of the broadcasting on Fox. But this is one of the great, great glories of our free market system. We have a bunch of different viewpoints that you can access on media, on radio, and on television, and in newspapers, for goodness sake. I don't think anybody is a fully informed American unless that person reads both the New York Times on the left and the Wall Street Journal on the center right. And look, it just goes to the point, and I think you and G agree with this, which is that people should use multiple sources.
Absolutely.
Of media.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is one of the glories of the American free enterprise system.
You know what's unpopular and does not make a lot of money is for the three of us to talk and have these debates back and forth. And for us, for an example, I've had so many people that are mad at me because I'm upset at a decision that Governor Jay Inslee made. As if, because I'm a black man, I'm supposed to agree with everything that Governor Jay Inslee says. Oh, and because I'm a black man, I'm supposed to agree with everything someone on the Democratic side says. You don't even know how I vote. I never express how I vote. But anyways, my point is, Michael, is I'm nervous that the conversations that we're having won't continue because what sells is these radical extreme opinions. Your thoughts on that?
I share your concern. You're entirely correct. Look, I can't tell you. I still get all kinds of email and communication all the time about you're a traitor. How can you not support President Trump? And President Trump is the real president. And we've just gone through a whole period of time, and January 6th was proof of it, that was very, very unhealthy for our republic, where basically the other side wasn't just your adversary. They weren't just people who disagreed with you. They were evil. They were drinking the blood of children and child trafficking and worshiping Satan, as QAnon believes. Part of the craziness here is these conspiracy theories that run rampant on the right, and to some extent on the left as well, disempower people. If you believe for a moment that the entire world is controlled by some evil cabal, then you're powerless, and you're frustrated, and you're angry, and you're not productive or constructive.
Ooh, that was a word.
Yeah, Michael, I'm going to tell you this, though. You are very popular with our listeners. Every week,
we get
emails. Gosh. I love having Michael Medved on the show. And we do, too. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it always. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, and we'll talk soon.
Yes.
Take care, Michael. Gosh, he's...
Hello?
Hello? Oh, no. I was like, I had to look at my connections. I thought something happened. I'm like, hello?
This is the weirdest thing. So I've got Laura producing remotely, G remote. I'm here by myself, and Paul is a brand new op. He's normally producing for us.
Yeah.
Hang in there with us, okay? We'll get this straight.
Coming up next, we have a guest. Why no one should skip the second dose of the COVID vaccine. We discuss that next. It's G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. as you just heard in Miley's newscast, she said she is signing off, but we're going to have Miley actually join us at 11:33. So don't worry, because we want to say a proper goodbye. But you also heard that there are all sorts of incentives being offered right now to people who have yet to get their vaccine. Miley was talking about ice cream, beer. Yesterday, G, you and I talked about Super Bowl tickets. And all these things are being offered because the supply of vaccine is now exceeding the demand. And of course, that is a concern. And another concern is the number of people who are behind on getting their second dose of the vaccine. So Cairo Radio's Nicole Jennings took a look at the problem and talked to a doctor about why it's so important to get that second dose. And Nicole joins us now. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Happy Fresh Friday.
Thank you. We always enjoy it when you join us. So tell us where we're at. What is the status for second doses for people in the state of Washington?
Well, I do want to emphasize that it's not a huge problem. We are actually under the national average. Nationally, about 8% of people aren't getting their second doses, 8% of people who get Pfizer or Moderna, the two-dose vaccines. We're around 5%. So we're doing well, but it's still, every dose counts as we're trying to get to herd immunity. So the 5%, they do matter, because we can't count those people in the fully vaccinated group when we're looking at, okay, 80% of people or so need to be vaccinated for herd immunity. So it does matter. The reason, I mean, there are so many reasons for this, and I should add that about 13% of Washingtonians are late getting their second dose. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the threshold is between when you go from just being late to being thought of as, okay, they never got it at all. I would assume it's a few weeks or so. But, I mean, the big takeaway here is better late than never. If you are one of those 13% that are late, go back and get it. You don't want to be the 5% who never got it at all.
I think one of the problems seems to be, and I know of someone yesterday, are the people getting exposed between doses to COVID. Mm. And I wonder if those are starting to factor in. And I think once they're coming off of maybe that COVID and getting away from that, they kind of like, well, I just got the vaccine. I mean, I got one vaccine and I just got COVID. Maybe I don't need the second dose. Maybe talk about the importance of getting that second dose.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that is a factor. And I know as well that some people, you know, have heard that there are worse symptoms in some cases when you get the second dose. You might get the chills and the headache and the fever and the fatigue and such. And they probably think, you know what? The majority of my immunity came in the first dose. It's 80% for Moderna, 60% for Pfizer. You know, I'm good with those odds. I don't really want that sick day, but it's so important. So I wanted to learn more about how these doses actually work, because I find medicine very interesting. If I could stand the sight of blood, I might have thought about becoming a doctor. And so I really wanted to learn what exactly these two doses are doing to our bodies. So I talked to Dr. Edward Leonard, who's an infectious disease expert with Overlake Medical Center. And the way he explained it to me, he put it in terms that I could understand. He said the first dose is like your midterm when you're in school. You have to learn a lot for the midterm. You have to study. But the second dose is the final exam. Now you're talking about a whole semester's worth of learning, and you're putting together not just what you learned for the midterm, but everything that you learned afterwards, and you're memorizing it all. That's kind of how these work with your body. The first dose teaches your body how to make antibodies. Your body's learning about this COVID virus and how to fight it off. But that second dose really relies on what your body learned before. It's the antibodies are a real memory reaction, and then you're really making even more antibodies, and your immune system is just kicking into high gear, which is why you often can get those symptoms. So it really is, as far as the memory response that it creates in your body and just the strengthening of the immune response, it really is so critical to get that second dose. And not only does it take you up to about 95% or so protection, so from 60 or 80 to 95 is much better odds, but also the protection lasts much longer. I think with Pfizer and Moderna, if you only get the first dose, I think they're thinking that your protection would last a matter of months. But once you get the second dose, it would be up to a year, like the normal flu shot. And then every year you would go back and get one.
And that would also speak to the maybe for people who are reluctant to get that second dose, you know, in the future, you would consider the one dose Johnson & Johnson now that it's back in play.
Right.
Because that would be one of the reasons why, because you do have to do scheduling as well. For some people, that means taking time off of work, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I want to ask you, though, because every time we bring up vaccines, especially now that it's no longer the Hunger Games, but now it seems like it's, you know, really trying to entice people to do it. Why did you choose to do the story? Because we didn't ask you. Did you have any kind of pressure to do this story because someone in our newsroom wants us to be pushing vaccines?
No, not at all. Actually, this was a story that I pitched, that I came up with. It was just because I was curious to learn more about how this works, because I didn't study medicine. And I thought, you know, here I've been writing about the vaccines in this kind of general way for so many months, but I really don't know how they work. So I just wanted to learn. That no one pitched the story to me. It was entirely me.
And you are honestly much younger than me, but kind of younger than G too. Did you get the vaccine?
I have gotten the first dose. I'm about 2 weeks away from getting my second dose.
And did you have any symptoms or any effects after getting it?
Just a sore arm, but I'm figuring that the second dose might be where I feel some side effects. So, you know, not looking forward to that, but certainly it's much better than a bout of COVID and the long-term effects that you can have from COVID, and much, much better than possibly giving COVID to my family members. So, you know, a day or two of feeling crummy is worth it to me.
Well, it is always good having you on, and I love the way you explained and gave us the explanation about the first dose and the second dose. I think putting that in layman's term, really, I love thinking that way, and it makes it easier for me to understand, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Nicole.
I enjoy explaining it. And please, if you are late, go get that second dose, because it's still so much better than not getting it at all.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Hey, G, I wanted to ask Nicole those questions because, as you know, every single day we get feedback about why do you seem to be pushing the vaccine. You and I did not have that planned. I will repeat again, you were much more reluctant in the beginning, but after you lost family members to COVID, you decided, yes, I'm going to look, and I am desperate to get it when I can. And I just want to make it real clear. There is no editorial board here at Cairo that says, can you please push this? No, we are speaking from our own experiences. We want you to be informed. We want you to know what we feel personally, and also the information that is available out there. We will let you know when there are adverse reactions, and we will give you what is the latest information. But it's not going to be based on what I see on TikTok, for example.
I tell you what I would rather have. I'd rather someone believes that I am pushing propaganda and believes that I am being too ridiculous on COVID than for you to have an impact of COVID the way that I've seen it impact some people. I don't wish that on anyone, because I have found that sometimes to truly understand the impact of COVID, you either have to have it personally happen to you or someone very close to you. And that feeling, I don't want you to have. So coming up next, Ursula, have you ever faked a fight in a relationship, but that fight ended up becoming a real fight?
I can't say I have. But I think when I was younger, you know how they say sometimes you won't like that little bit of tension? Yeah, not anymore.
All right. Well, we'll discuss that in scenarios next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays. 11:06. It is time for Ursula and I to pull out the pillows and start fighting with Agree to Disagree. But right now it is time for Scenarios, brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
My wife has an annoying habit of giving me the silent treatment whenever we are having a fight. We don't fight often, and when we do, it's usually over small, unimportant things. The silent treatment used to really bother me, and she knows it. That's why she does it. But I figured out a way to make it work to my advantage. I used it as me time and just kind of ignored the situation until everything got back to normal. It works, and I like it. So check this out. A few months back, I found a cool video game, and I'm obsessed. I can't get enough of it, and there's not really enough time to play. So I started picking little fights with her to get the silent treatment. Then I could go play my game until it all blew over. The problem is I've been doing it more and more lately, and now she has suggested that we need to go see a therapist to talk about our issues and why we have not been getting along lately. The truth is, we get along just fine, but I can't really tell her what I've been doing. I don't want to hurt her, and if I just stop picking fights now, she'll think I'm doing it just to get out of going to a therapist. Ugh, did I put myself in a bad situation? How do I handle this? Ursula, you have all the answers. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you have the best
ones. I think I have a pretty easy answer. This guy needs to grow up. You need to mature. You were picking fights so you can have video game time. Some of this stuff is okay. Sorry. Let's just start this. There was a time when you're younger, you do that whole silent treatment, or oh, my feelings are hurt, and then you just, it feels good to have your partner say, oh, I'm so sorry, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. At some point, you gotta just address it at that moment. Don't do the whole that silent treatment thing gets really old. I think that they could benefit from couples treatment, because I think that can benefit anybody, whether it's because now he really thinks he doesn't have an issue. He has an issue if he thought the only way he could have his time to play video games was to create false fights. So they've got issues. They've got communication issues. They've got issues with trying to trust each other and also learning how to compromise. So, yes, they could use therapy, and he needs to grow up.
Laura Scott, you're with us today. Give us your thoughts on this.
Oh, man. Ursula said everything I was going to say. I feel like you're spot on. It's so immature. I mean, I'm not married, so I'm going to just not say anything about people who are married, but it sounds so immature. Like, I would be embarrassed if this was happening to me with a boyfriend.
Right?
Let alone being married.
You know what? You know what? I am not going to allow you to jump on this guy. First of all of us in some shape or form have some immature ways about us. There are some things that we might not be proud of. This man just so happens to admit and let us know what's wrong with him. So in this case, here's rule number one, my man. Never fess up to this whole ordeal that you've been doing. You'll never hear the last of it. Listen.
Bad advice.
Just stop. Okay. Stop doing this. Now, I'm asking you, I'm suggesting that you stop doing it. Stop doing it. I suggest you not admit to it. You admit to it again, you will never hear the last of it. Now, don't do it anymore. If you do have to go to the therapist, go to the therapist. Hey, it might be there for a good thing. Go there. Do whatever you have to do. Maybe you won't have to go to the therapist, but I don't suggest doing that again. You need to stop that. And one last thing, Ursula, we have all got our immature bad habits that we do. We all need to work on them. As someone who has been part and have done the whole silent treatment, I'll admit it was immature to do that in the first place. But at least I'm admitting it, and that's the first step to recovering.
Did you? That's true. Recognize that you have a problem. However, did you actually create friction for the sole purpose of having me time?
Back in the day, I used to create friction so I can go out to the clubs.
Okay, then you did. Guilty.
Hey, coming up next, we do agree to disagree. You guys are listening to the Gene Ursula Show.